Welcome everyone to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell and I'm the host of this podcast and the creator of Balance by Megan. On this podcast, we talk about all things yoga, wellness, health, and spirituality with guests from around the world. So grab your crystals, grab your essential oils, and let's dive into it. Welcome back to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell, and I am the host of this show and the creator of Balance by Megan. What is up? What is up, June? If you are listening to this in real time, hard to believe that tomorrow is already June. We are what I feel like is officially in summer, although yesterday it literally snowed and rained here, so I don't know what that was all about, but I'm not for it. I'm all about the summer. I'm all about the heat. How do we go from 30 degrees weather to 2 degrees? I don't know. I do not know. But I have a brand new episode for you today. And today I am joined by Malik Sharaf. Malik is an engineer turned movement educator, passionate about ditching the hustle culture and empowering others to shape the lives they truly want to live. Movement has been an essential part of her transformation journey, helping her go from feeling burnt out to finding freedom and happiness. Malik is on a mission to make movement accessible to everyone. She fuses the practice of yoga, Pilates, and barre with strength and cardio to help her clients unlock incredible physical and mental strength and a deep sense of self-empowerment. Today on the episode, we talk about why she left her corporate career as an engineer and project manager to pursue teaching, the value that each form of training in yoga, Pilates, and barre brought her, and how yoga can be infused in your fitness routine. We also discuss fusing your movement practice with your menstrual cycle, how we can think of our cycles as seasons, and what we can do in our life and fitness routine that complements each cycle, plus so much more. This was a really fun, informative episode for me. I know you are going to gain so much value from today's episode. Before we dive into today's podcast episode, this episode has been sponsored by Nature's Remedy CBD, my personal favorite CBD on the market. CBD helps with sleep, anxiety, pain relief, inflammation, overall health, and so much more. I personally take a few drops under my tongue, hold it for 30 seconds, swallow it back at nighttime for ideal sleep. It really helps me to hit that REM sleep. It really helps me to make sure that I'm sleeping the entire night with no interruptions. This product is hemp-derived, no THC, and all organic. For the time being, it is only available in Canada. You can email me info@balancebymegan.com for more information and to learn how you can order and which product is right for you. Let's take a moment and talk about dewy, glowy skin, because who doesn't want all of that? Am I right? I am talking about Frey Skincare, a natural skincare line made with argan oil and free from parabens, SLS, mineral oil, DEA, and petrolatum, kind of everything that you don't want in a skincare routine. Right now, all Balance Your Life podcast listeners get 10% off their products off their website with code Balance by Meg. I'm personally a huge fan of the Revive Me Deep Replenishing Serum and Protect Me, which is an ultralight moisturizer with SPF 30. I never remember to wear sunscreen on my face, and Protect Me has a built-in SPF 30 already into it. So there you go. You get your face moisturizer and you get SPF. It's the best of both worlds. You should know that when you buy a skincare kit, they plant an argan tree in Morocco, which, if you know me, you know the environment is so important to me, so this was really important. You should also know that it is a full 100% money-back guarantee if you do not love the product as much as I do. I use it every single day, And I'm a huge fan of the product. I'm a huge fan of their mission and what they stand for. So make sure you use the link in my bio to get your discount code, or just use balance by Meg at checkout to receive 10% off of your order. Make sure that you check out the Deep Replenishing Serum and the Protect Me Moisturizer. With that, please welcome Malik Sharef to the Balance Your Life podcast.
Welcome to the show, Malik. I'm so excited to have you on.
Me too. Thank you for having me.
Can you give a little bio of who you are and where in the world you are currently joining me from today?
Okay. So, yeah, I live in Toronto, Canada. I teach, I'm a movement teacher or health and fitness coach. I teach a fusion of yoga, Pilates, bar, kickboxing, restorative yoga. And there is, of course, special classes for pre and postnatal. 8 years ago, I quit my corporate job and completely changed. And that change was into phases. Like, I first studied makeup, the full makeup artistry, and I worked as a makeup artist in film and TV for 4 years. And then there was an overlap between taking the 200 hours of yoga and Pilates and still working in the makeup. But I was more drawn and passionate and in tune with the teaching that I just left the makeup. Yeah, so that's like briefly what, and I studied engineering. So I'm a communication and electronics engineer. I worked as a senior project manager. And now I'm doing something really nice and fun, and you can feel the change.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, like corporate.
I would love to know, because that seems like such a drastic change. Why did you decide that being in the corporate world or the engineering world, like, why wasn't it for you anymore?
Because it just didn't feel natural. Like, everything about it. Like, when you write, usually before making a decision, I do this positive and negative, pros and cons. And the cons were, like, more than the pros. And it's just, it didn't sit right that you're spending all your life at work. They say stuff, but they don't do it. Like, oh, yeah, we care about the employees. We want to invest in you. We want to solve the problems. And as a project manager, you're always firefighting. And when you state the problems, they're not interested in the root cause of the problems. No, you just sort yourself. Don't come to me with problems. What do you mean? Like, don't come to me. Yeah. And, the fact of, like, I was always depressed. Coming back from a vacation, I'm already depressed and not happy. Panic attacks, I had a few of those. I was dreaming of my projects. That wasn't healthy whatsoever. Spending money on not important stuff, like brands and so on, and you still don't, like, you're not satisfied. You're always thinking about the other pair of shoes or the next bag, thinking, and you're never satisfied, you're never happy. And it's just the whole structure of corporate, like that 10 hours work, or working during the weekends, or working at night. Mind you, I was not working here. I was working in Dubai for 5 years, and before that I was in the field for 3 years as a field engineer. So that continuation of work, you go out with your friends, you talk about work, you sleep, dream of your projects. And I wasn't getting paid the same as well. And every time I want to get at the same level. Like, I manage Africa, I travel to different countries, I'm doing the same work, getting paid the same. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you were doing everything right in the, you know, in what we call like the Western standard, you know, you get a job, you have good pay, you do all these things. And it's funny that I feel like, because I'm in this world and because I'm always talking to yogis and yoga practitioners and yoga teachers, that it's like, you almost get to the point where you're like, it's not enough. Like, I'm not happy. And even though I'm ticking all of these boxes that we're supposed to be doing, it just, like, I'm not fulfilled. So I would love to even know what led you to, I don't know what was first for you, if it was yoga or Pilates or some other form of movement, but what led you to even getting into that to begin with?
So from when I was working in corporate, I was practicing, I was doing CrossFit, I was doing all the body pump, blah, 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 workouts or classes. But I always been drawn to yoga teachers, and I used to say, oh, they have a spark about themselves. And I wanted to learn more about it because it did help me going to yoga classes, like slow flows. It did help with my panic attacks and like improve my sleeping and so on. So I had the idea for like probably 7 years or so on that I want to take the teacher training, but I'm not a yogi. And I was telling myself, I'm a fraud. I'm like, why would I take the teacher training? And I'm not even that practicing, you know, a yogi. But eventually after I quit and I relocated to Toronto and maybe 5 years later in end of 2017, I did take the 200 hours teacher training, yoga teacher training. And so that was the beginning of it for me.
Oh, yeah, then it's the rabbit hole down from there. That sounds absolutely amazing. So you had previously said you were in corporate, then you transitioned to becoming a makeup artist. And I just want to touch a little bit on that because you said you were doing your yoga teacher training and it overlapped with being a makeup artist.
Yes.
Why a makeup artist? Did you just decide it would be something fun? Did you just fall into it? Did you know it was going to be temporary? Why did you decide to go that route after corporate?
I experimented with like, one of my friends, okay, let's start this way. One of my friends, which actually helped started this situation, asked me, okay, forget about money, forget about everything. What are you passionate? What would you like to do if money literally is not a problem at all for you? And I didn't have an answer to that. So I had to dig deeper into what I enjoy. And there was cooking, there was photography, and then makeup. I wasn't, and still I'm not that person who wears makeup every day or like, you know, sits and do stuff. But like my best friend taught me some stuff and I liked it. And I said, well, that's a good challenge for me because I was convinced I cannot draw, I cannot do any of that stuff. So why not just, like, I know how to cook and I really didn't want to start by chopping onions for a year. And I said, okay, let's dive deeper into that challenge. Let's learn everything and let's get into the creative aspect that I've never dived into because I was like math, physics, engineering. There was no art in my life at all.
That's so cool.
So this is how I got into the makeup side.
I love that. It's so funny because I had dabbled with the idea of becoming a makeup artist as well. And for me, I was like, but I don't wear makeup every single day. So is it weird to be a makeup artist who doesn't wear that much makeup? And it's something I still like to do. It's something I still like to experiment, but I totally get the being creative side of it and wanting to do something different, especially when your previous work experience was so like technical and so math driven.
Yes. Yeah, no, go for it. Just for yourself, you know, to learn for yourself.
Yeah, and that's just it. Like, being where I'm at now, I've also realized, like, I don't want that as a career, but it was just, it's so funny how we talk our things out of things. Like you were saying, too, you didn't think you could take a teacher training because you weren't, quote unquote, a yogi. And I remember saying to one of the teachers at the studio where I was certified, oh no, I can't be a yoga teacher because I don't know how to do handstand. And she looked at me and she was like, okay, like, what does that mean? And I was like, well, don't you have to do all these things to be a teacher? She's like, no, like that's you talking yourself out of something. And I would love to know, you dove in and you started taking your 200 hours. What made you feel like there's something to this and I want to learn more and I want to become certified so that I can go out and teach?
So that first class I taught, or like that first instance I taught during the teacher training, it's just, it felt great. Like I felt like, oh, okay. Like the feedback I got and while I was teaching was surprisingly very good. And during, I was super immersed in it. It was kind of like a different way of presenting as the project manager. So you present a lot. So that was a different way. But the feeling I got after teaching classes is like, and people having that smile on their face or they're feeling good, that was like, oh, this is what I want. Like, I want to be a reason or help people feel good, whether about themselves or they're doing something good for themselves. And the feedback that I got and that I received from my teachers was like, oh, okay, so I can teach. Obviously, I have the skill. So that was another drive, which makes a difference when you hear from, like, you know, your teachers that you have it and it's, and all of that stuff makes a difference and actually motivates you to continue and seek more. And the fact is, like, 200, and being very honest about this, having 200 hours is not enough. You need a lot, like, there is a lot to cover to really know what you're doing to a certain extent. And of course, like, continuing learning and education is just part of, I believe, any human being, actually. So, but the 200 hours of yoga kind of, like, is the entry door. But Pilates was, like, no-brainer. Like, I had to take the 200 hours mat Pilates.
I would love to talk about that too, because I feel the same way. I mean, I think the 200 hours is great, and I know every studio has, you know, they have guidelines to follow, and but each one has it a little, they deliver it a little differently. But I remember too, after my 200 hours, like, literally thinking, I feel like I should do this again, because I feel like I could gain so much more the second time around, because you're just, there's just so much information. And I feel like it's kind of twofold. You're implementing it into your life and taking it in personally. And then if you had the intention of going out and teaching it, you're also trying to pick up on, you know, teaching cues and alignment and how to actually teach people, you know, the philosophy of yoga, the energy behind yoga. There's just so much into it. So what in the yoga teacher training made you decide you wanted to take Pilates afterwards?
So there was a class taught at the studio by Leslie Hopkins, which called Fusion, which was a fusion between Pilates and yoga. And I loved it. I loved her cues. I loved her exercises. I loved the whole thing. It was not just, like, there was some sun salutations to it, but that was not the main focus. And we're not just repeating the same thing. And I went to the intro session or something of the Pilates, and I was like, yeah, this is what I want. I want to understand alignment. I want to understand muscles. I want to know what I'm talking about, basically, because it's too much. Yes, there is the breathing aspect. There is the mental aspect. There is spirituality into it. There is all of that. But at the same time, you're moving. And you need that foundation, and you need to build upon that foundation. But I felt with the 200 hours of yoga, I don't even have foundation. I don't even have strong foundation, let's put it this way. So all of that in the mix, and the desire to learn more and, like, know what I'm doing, like, standing on firm ground, that when I have some, because in classes, you have people walking different bodies. Like, no one had, we both, for example, we don't share the same body. We don't share even the same cycle. So, like, imagine having, even if it's 5 people in your class or 10 people or more, no one will look the same in a squat. No one will do the squat the same way, even if you're repeating the same cue. You have to have different cues. You have to understand. Some people will understand visually, some people understand by words, some people will understand if you give them a metaphor or something to imagine, or so on. So it's a lot into it. So, and yes, as you, to touch base on what you said about each studio has, yeah, each studio wants you to do the 200 hours and then 300 hours. And I was like, no, I need 200 hours Pilates. And then I went on to bar because there is a lot when it comes to understanding the body and how to activate the muscles and which muscle is doing which action. It was not just lifting the hand. It doesn't lift by itself. But when you understand which muscles you're targeting, oh yeah, I know how, like, I know what's happening in lifting the arm, for example, and it's actually the shoulder or what's going on, you know? So yeah, this was my path or the structure I followed to understand and improve my teaching skills.
Yeah, I love that so much. I'm curious, what do you feel like between yoga, Pilates, and barre, I don't want to call them category, but what did each form of exercise or, you know, between yoga, Pilates, and barre, what did each of those give you as far as making an impact on your life? Did Pilates make you feel more stronger, whereas yoga helped you breathe better? Was barre more challenging? Like, I'm just curious, if someone was not sure which route they wanted to go, what do you feel like each one of those gave you as far as an impact on your life?
That's a great question. So yoga is basically was like waking up or spiritual connection or inward connection, let's say. Like all of that, this is what yoga did for me personally, and I would imagine other people too. Pilates was like the engineering bits, the biomechanics, the dots, you know. Barre was for me personally the music and beats aspect, because I don't have a dancer's background or singing background, none of that. So the barre complemented this aspect of. Barre basically is Pilates on a chair or on a kitchen counter or in a bar or to the wall or to a bar. But for me, the aspect that I gained from barre was that, oh, counting to the beat or moving to the beat and getting that music thing added to my teaching skills. Because yes, I pick up music like when you create your sequences and so on. Yeah, you have music in the background, but I was not counting to beat and like this is 8, this is 10. That was not something I was thinking about. So but for me barre was like, as I said, it's Pilates, like more, let's say when you go to engineering and you specialize in either architecture or communication or something. So barre is like that situation, like that way. So that's why when anyone asks me what are your recommendation, I'm like, this way: take the yoga, take the Pilates, take the barre, because each one of them will complement and you'll be able to fuse and create classes, unique classes, you know?
Absolutely. I love the breakdown that you gave to between all of them, because I sometimes find in the yoga world that, and this isn't the case for everyone, so I don't want to put a blank statement out there or a blanket statement out, but sometimes people don't feel like exercise or fitness can be yoga. And even though it's, you know, in the way I was taught it, asana is like the one limb of yoga. It's like you can't do Pilates or have a fitness and make it yoga. And I really, truly disagree with that. I feel like, you know, in yoga, there's so many different yamas and niyamas, or like how you treat yourself, how you treat the world, where, you know, like tapas, which is like discipline, that internal heat. I'm like, you get that when you're doing Pilates or you're doing a fitness exercise. What would you say to someone who says that you can't make fitness yoga? Do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that? I would just be curious to know your opinion on that.
No, yoga, you can, of course, because it's not just it's not just spiritual. Like, there are, of course, there is a spiritual aspect. There is the breathing aspect. There is inward connection, as I said, all of that. But at the same time, you're moving. I think of yoga sometimes as meditation. Because as long as you're moving, that's fitness. Be it walking, being taking the stairs, being doing a flow, doing sun salutations, prayers, like the Muslim prayers, for example. All of that is movement. That's fitness. You're moving your body, you're moving your limbs. That's fitness. That's it. that's my opinion. Yeah. You don't have to go take a class with loud music. You don't have to have all these equipments. You don't have to go to a gym so that, oh yeah, now I'm doing fitness. No.
Yeah.
No.
I know. I agree with you so much. And even I remember somebody reaching out to me and saying, you know, how can weight loss, if someone comes to yoga for weight loss, how can that be yoga? And I, you know, my response was very much, I don't care why people get into yoga or Pilates or whatever you want to call it. I think it's a good teacher who can make it more than just weight loss. But it's just, I have had that argument come up in the yoga space. And I'm like, you're not my people, because I don't agree with you at all about why fitness and yoga can't intertwine together. So I appreciate you coming out and giving your opinion as well to that.
No, I feel.
I would love to know, because one of the things we had talked about before hopping on this call was syncing menstrual cycles with movement exercises. And I'm curious, how did you come to understanding that? Like, why, how did that come into your life? And how can we do it as, you know, fitness practitioners or yoga practitioners? How can we fuse our menstrual cycles with our movement exercise?
So basically, from personal experience and even talking to friends, women friends, you're like, oh, like, I'm always tired. I just don't feel like moving, or like I don't want to even go to work. And like I feel I'm on this repetitive cycle of like, I'm tired and demotivated, no desire to do anything. And then I have those like few days where go. So, and then when I was like, from personal experience, I found that I'm just in that cycle too. And it's affecting my movement, my work, my moods, all of that. And I was like, okay, let's just listen to this. Let's listen to my cycle. Like, this is an ongoing thing. It's not going anywhere unless we reach the wise age or something. But it's with me. It's part of me. And it defines me somehow. So, okay, let's see what I'm feeling and base my movement on this. And eventually I just based everything on it, upon it. So, okay, I noticed that just around my bleeding time, I really don't want to do anything. Like, don't even talk to me. I just want to be by myself or not move. So I said, okay, let's do like minimum stuff, restorative. Let's just do slow flows, like hatha, for example. Or like just walk. I love walking. So I found that walking is good, because when you just give in and sit on the couch, which is again, great. I do that and eat chocolate, which is fine. But I mean, you can still do stuff while you're bleeding or PMSing. And that had a very positive effect. When I don't have to kick cardio. I don't have to lift heavy weights when I'm bleeding. That doesn't make any sense. And you just don't want to do that. But I found that when my mind says, okay, no, I don't want to do anything. Okay, but I just go for a walk or pick up two pillows, two blankets and do like three restorative poses. Oh, okay. I found that I'm feeling better. My cramps are not as bad. I'm not that irritated. I'm still irritated, but I'm not super irritated. I found that when I listen to my cycle and like tracking it, I always track like when does it start and so on. My sister is a gynecologist, and that was one of the first things she told me when I got my period. Track it. So I found that, okay, I'm telling my husband, heads up, PMSing is starting, so please don't push me during these days. And then I found that when after I'm bleeding, oh, I noticed my energy levels are coming back. I can, like, I found that just doing a flow is not enough. I actually want to, like, jump. I want to lift stuff. And when we were open and the studios were open, I found that my energy levels are different. When I'm bleeding or before bleeding, I really don't want to move so much with my students in class. And then I noticed that, no, post-bleeding, few days after, oh, yeah, I'm kicking it with them and all is good. So I found that listening and tuning into my personal cycle empowered me. I know now, like, okay, those days, like, let's talk, for example, because your period is four phases. It's the four seasons. So bleeding time, I'm relaxing. I'm doing minimum stuff. I'm not really scheduling any sociable activities. I'm not doing crazy work, nor house chores. I probably won't cook. And I'm doing restorative walking when the weather permits. And flowing, just minimum. It could be 15 minutes. It could be 30 minutes. I don't pressure myself. I don't expect much of myself. And eventually, that guilty conscience has gone away, because before, when I didn't tune into my cycle, if I sit on the couch and just, like, you know, do nothing all day, oh my god, I should have been doing something. I feel like I should be doing something. I didn't do this work task. I didn't post, for example, to my social, like, you know, all of this comes to your mind and it just stresses you out. But I found out that, oh no, why do I expect to do anything during this time? Like, my body is telling me loud and clear, relax, rest, listen to me, do what I need, which is walking, restorative, flowing. And then the follicular phase, which comes after when the bleeding stops, this is when I found, okay, energy is building up again. I'm coming back. I'm rising back again. So I can start, like, planning, organizing, thinking, and I'm introducing not intense cardio. Like, I don't get back into kickboxing immediately. No, I'm just doing, like, you know, nice Pilates, weights. Sometimes I can lift the 10 pounds and sometimes I'm just lifting like 2 pound wrist weights, you know, like, it's fine. And then on ovulation is like, wow. This is like the peak. We're like going, like, I'm just doing every day kickboxing, bar, Pilates. I'm like fusing everything together, creative. Because I found out that, oh yeah, I can find myself just sitting like this. And oh yeah, now I want to write the captions. I want to do, like, ideas are just storming in. So I started tracking this. And based on this tracking, I started planning my work weeks and my month. Ovulation, this is when I feel social, but I want to see my friends, because I noticed that, yeah, I'm texting my friends, I'm responding faster to messages and stuff, I'm not really irritated, but why are you texting me? You know, when you are in this way, why are you texting me? I don't want to answer anyone. So, and that actually pushed me to track better and journal better about my cycle. I never liked journaling. But I found, no, I want to track this. I want to see when, I want to know when my energy levels are high, when I'm sociable, when is my creative time? Because this is when I want to write email newsletters, for example. I want to write the caption for my posts, which I used to struggle with because I used to sit at the wrong time to write my caption. This is when I'm like, oh yeah, house chores are getting done and I'm not like putting things off. And this is the ovulation phase. Sex drive is amazing. All that stuff is like, it's not like no pain. You're not like, or whatever. No, you're actually, you know, out and about everything. And you can reach out to, I feel a lot better reaching out to, for example, scheduling stuff with, like, people I don't know for, like, collaborations or whatever as well. I'm more open during the ovulation phase. And then I found that, yeah, energy is winding down again, which makes absolute sense when you are in the luteal phase after the ovulation. You peaked and now you're like, okay, let's prep again for that. Bleeding time is coming up, so your energy is slowly coming down. So I lower my, it's not intense cardio. No, you can still heavy lift, but, like, again, listen to your body. I found that, again, some days I'm like, yeah, lifting hard. Slowly, I'm not that sociable anymore. Like, I need my self-care time, my own time of like hot bath, watch a movie, read. I do a lot. Now my reading is like towards that luteal phase and bleeding time. And as well, a little bit after the bleeding time, a lot of reading, a lot of education. I get all my homeworks done during this time. And then I just, listen to my body. This is the time to relax, not do much, bare minimum tasks. I don't schedule anything almost. And I enjoy my chocolate, Nutella.
I love all that so much. It's so funny because as you're saying this, I have this app called My Flow. I don't know if you know it. I literally just got a notification that I'm in a new phase. So I feel like how divine timing is that? But it's funny because I initially downloaded the app because I came off of the birth control pill.
Yeah.
And obviously I wanted to track my period, but it's so funny because as you're saying all of this, I'm like, I can pinpoint exactly the time in my cycle where I'm like way more emotional or where I'm like, I'm craving chocolate or sweets. And to tie it into your fitness makes total sense to me. Cause you're not forcing yourself to do something. If you're, you know, if you're in the menstrual phase and you're doing like a heavy workout or a big fitness routine, and you know, if you're tired or bloated, I feel like you'd be so much more prone to almost like injury just because you're like pushing yourself when your body's not feeling it. That makes total sense to me. I feel like I'm gonna, because I feel like a lot of the time, like I just tie that up to, oh, it's that time of the month. Like I know I'm going to be more emotional. My husband knows me so well where he'll be like, if I'm like crying over a commercial, he'll be like, are we close to your, like, is it almost that time of month, babe? Like, I feel like you're very emotional right now. And I'm like, I am, it's due in like 4 days. So I feel like, to start tracking it and to start tying it into, oh, like this makes sense. This is why I'm a little bit more tired. Like maybe I won't beat myself up over sleeping in a little bit later because I'm menstruating, or instead of just marking it as like a coincidence, like you can actually track all of this and be like, no, this makes total sense. Why I'm a little bit more lethargic, or why I'm craving, you know, more slower paced yoga as opposed to, you know, Pilates or something along those lines.
100%. And once you tune into this, you're not gonna think of it as a negative thing or as something that is holding you back. Instead, you'll be like, no, this is, I feel it's our unique advantage because we have this natural life and death cycle, or like those four seasons happening. Even it happens to plants, to animals, to human beings, but us especially in a unique, different way. But when you tune into it and actually listen, get the food that you need, like leaves, you know, fibers, all of that, and like know when to avoid certain stuff. Like for example, before the bleeding, like the luteal phase, if you like tone down the coffee, avoid alcohol, avoid smoking, then the cramps will get better, the moods will get better, your body will feel better and will thank you for that, you know. So when you track all of this and understand all of this, you're basically empowering yourself just by following nature, just by listening and tuning into this amazing body you have, or this wow miracle you have somehow inside you. I believe you empower yourself because then you're not having these negatives. Oh my God, I have my period. No. You're prepping, you're ready for it, you're aware, and you're taking the time to refresh and re-energize. It's like when we hibernate in winter, this is your menstrual phase. You're hibernating, you're relaxing, you're refurbishing, and then comes spring, blooming, opening, you know, this is your follicular phase. And then summer, oh yeah, you know, like just how our city, for example, lights up in summer. Or like how everyone is like colorful and you see all the styles from everyone and parks and flowers and like, yeah, good vibes everywhere. And then slowly, slowly, everything winds down again in autumn and fall. And this is our luteal phase, because you cannot just keep going in a straight line like that. And you cannot be performing all the time. And it's empowering when you understand all of that. Like, it's wow. And yeah, you feel confident, because you know yourself, you know which phases you are. Like, I scheduled this on my and during my operation, so I'm more creative, I'm more sociable, I want to do this, you know. I'm not like, I just want to sleep, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just different, and I felt the difference. And that's why when I work with women, because my focus is women, health and fitness, so this is what I'm doing and I want to do, and I want women to get out of it, is that this is your power tool. This is your empowering tool. Just listen to it and don't just think, like, as you said, people coming for weight loss. It's not just weight loss, because when you tune into that, you will lose weight, because when we were not in tune to that, you don't know what's going on. Why you're not losing weight, for example, or why you're this happening or so on.
It's one of the things that keeps coming up for me right now is, even in meditation, we talk about meditation being this opportunity to tune inwards and to really understand ourselves. And I feel like if you don't know your cycle, like, you don't fully understand yourself. I'm really going to start exploring with this a little bit more, because it makes so much sense to me. And this year, so 2020 to 2021, I was really trying to wrap my head around the seasons that we experience. And I'm somebody who beats myself up. Like, in the wintertime, I feel like I shut down. Like, I just feel like I'm not as creative. I feel like I was beating myself up for, like, sleeping in a little bit more. I always felt a little bit more tired. And especially in this world of, like, being online, sometimes you see other people who are, like, killing it in their coaching business or killing it online. And you're like, I should be like that. Like, I got to ramp myself up. Like, these people are doing it, I should be able to do that too. And this was the year that I was really wrapping my head around, like, it's the winter time. Like, just be kinder on yourself. Like, trees died for rebirth. Animals go into hibernation. Like, it would make sense that the human body does the same thing, right? It slows down a little bit in the winter. And then there were always days where I felt really good and high vibe. And I'm sure now if I had gone back to track things, it would have been like, yeah, like you were saying, in the ovulation phase, like, you're feeling a little bit more high vibe, a little bit more energy. And just to kind of, like, tie all of that together. So this is very cool. I'm very happy that you brought all of this up.
My pleasure. I'm happy that you will take this into consideration and actually apply. And honestly, you will love it. And the changes and the positive effect is just wow. And I don't like to use the word control, but you are in control and confidently in control, or aware of yourself, and no excuses and no shame, because why? This is natural. You know, this is, God-given strength. So why not?
So I know you were saying you base a lot of, like, your exercise and what you do around your cycle. I'm curious, is there anything that you do on a day-to-day basis? Like, regardless, I always meditate for 10 minutes a day, or does it truly change every day along with your cycle?
So day-to-day, like, definitely the water, the journaling right now, finally, is, like, my daily habit, the reading at night, and my movement could, like, my movement practice could fluctuate from 15 minutes to 45 minutes. No, like, no judgment whatsoever. I used to be that person who's like, oh, I have to, like, log in 45 minutes a day. No, like, you know, because not every day is the same schedule, but, like, definitely I move. That's for sure. So, but it could be 15 minutes, could be 45 minutes, could be 30 minutes. all is good. Like, I'm grateful and happy. Plus, of course, meditation is, because I do my five prayers, the Muslim prayers, and there is as well, like, my meditation could be as well between 5 minutes to 10 minutes. I let go of the judgment, or that I have to do 50 minutes a day. No, just listen to yourself. Your mood could be different. You could be irritated. Like, I could be in my luteal or menstrual and really don't have it in me to just sit there, even though I like it and I do it. But sometimes it's just 2 minutes, all I can do for that day. But definitely based on my cycle and based on my age and all of that, is water, the good foods, some strength somehow, because, you know, as women, muscle mass and all of that, bone and all of this beautiful stuff. So definitely movement, water, breathing. My prayers are important to me, and journaling, because you don't feel the same every day. Your energy levels are not the same every day. Maybe you have pain here or aches here. It's important to track these stuff.
Amazing. I love all of that so much. Is there anything that we haven't discussed that you wish I had asked you, or maybe like advice that you want to give to somebody who is starting out on their, whether it's their yoga journey or their Pilates journey, or even to tracking their menstrual cycle? Is there anything I haven't asked that you want to let somebody know out there?
I can definitely advise on that. If you're just starting, don't stress yourself. Don't think you wasted, oh, I should have started. No should. Don't give open, like, don't give the path to shoulds or ifs or what if. Just do it. And you can start with a pen and paper. Just write, you know, before you go to bed or when you wake up. But my advice is pick up the time of day when you want to journal or when you want to move, and stick to that time. Stick to it. And your mind will play all the games, all the tricks, like 3 seconds, and it could change your decision. So act immediately. Keep your word to yourself. And you can start anything, just some stairs to the kitchen counter. You don't need fancy equipment. Just listen to your body. Don't feel pressured by all the pauses or all the things you see on social media. Half of it is not true. So just relax, listen to your body, and be humble. Start even if it's just 5 minutes a day with whatever you want to do. And don't feel stressed that you have to meditate. Oh, I have to do 5 minutes of meditation. No, it could be 1 minute. And that could be a great thing.
Amazing. I couldn't agree with you more. I always say the same thing to my clients. It's like, it's almost like, you know, those like New Year's resolutions where people are like, I'm going to work out 7 days a week. I'm going to meditate for an hour a day. I'm going to revamp my entire diet. And I'm always like, you're setting yourself up more likely than not for failure. Like, pick one thing and stick with it every single day. Write a note, put it in your calendar, even if it's 5 minutes, like, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning for 5 minutes, I'm going to meditate. Make it non-negotiable. Even if you don't feel like when the timer goes off or when the meditation is over that you did it, just keep doing it. And I'm reading Think Like a Monk right now by Jay Shetty. And the one thing that he keeps talking about is like, time has memory. And it's this idea of like repetition, keep doing it over and over at the same time every day, and it will become a habit. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Like, just pick a time, stick with it. Maybe it's a 15-minute walk every day at lunch hour, or, you know, 5 minutes first thing in the morning or at the end of the night, but it has to be something that you commit to yourself. And it can change. I don't believe it has to stick that way, but I think you also have to give yourself time to adjust to it and to try to make it a habit.
Of course, I agree. Just get that habit in. It's about the consistency, and just be kind to yourself, really. And slowly figure out better times and better ways to do things, because the time doesn't stay the same. I used to practice at noon, now I practice at 8. So it's just, it depends.
Yeah. I used to meditate at night and now I do it in the morning. So, you know, life, it changes. Before I send everybody your way and to check out your offerings and to connect with you online, we have like a 5 bonus round question period. So these are just 5 super simple questions to get to know you in a different way, just to, you know, have a little fun and see what your answers are.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Perfect.
I guess. Yes.
She's like, this wasn't in the email. No, it's super simple. So my first question for you is, what is a book, podcast, or resource that has brought you value and you want to share with the audience?
A book by Katie Bowman, Diastas Recti. This book was like, wow. And it's not about Diastas Recti. It's about movement, but eye-opener, great. Yeah, that was a great book.
Awesome. My second question for you is, who is your favorite person or influencer to look up to for inspiration?
Oh, there is many. So on a person, like, do you mean from social media or on a personal level?
Just, it could be either. It could be on a personal level. It could be someone who just inspires you every day online. Anybody who's just like, they keep me going forward.
Okay, so on a personal level is my sister. Definitely, yeah. She's always have a positive and challenging effect on me. From the influencer side, or like challenging on the movement, is Anna Clark. She's like, yeah, always from the movement and strength aspect.
I guess. I love it.
The Anna Clark.
I'll have to look her up afterwards.
Yeah, I can send you her thing.
That's cool. Yeah, I love learning about new people. Question number 3 is, what are you grateful for today?
Today?
Yes.
A lot, but let's say breathing. Just having another day of life. Yeah. And
And it's 100%. Sunny now. It's been hot the last few days. I feel like my gratitude journal, like, the last week has just been like, I'm so grateful for the sunshine and the heat, because it's been it's been a very cool spring. So
it's been so long. Yeah, me too. And my gratitude, I've been like, thank you for the sun, for the trees, for that positive vibes. And yeah, like, I've been waiting for this weather. I'm Egyptian, so like, I've been waiting for this. Yeah.
Question number 4 is, what is your spirit animal?
Spirit animal.
Wow. It could be metaphorical. It could be an actual animal, just an animal that you like it has your spirit, like you identify with it.
So a wolf.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I love wolves. And dragons too, but like, let's stick to wolves.
Dragons are okay. Somebody else had said a dragon before. I was like, that's amazing. I would love to be a dragon. But for a dragon, that's awesome. My final question for you is, what is your favorite form of self-care to practice?
Oh, a hot bath. Like, nothing beats a hot bath for me. Yeah.
Awesome. Malik, this has been such an incredible conversation. If people want to check you out online, or maybe they want to work with you, where can everybody go and find you?
So the easiest way, first, thank you so much for having me. And I'm so happy that this was a good conversation and it was fun. But easiest way, of course, is Instagram. My handle is at malak.movement. My website right now is under updating. So the best way is either Instagram, or they can shoot me an email, or even on Facebook at malak.movement as well. The same. They can find my page.
Perfect. I will make sure everything is linked in the show notes too. So if anybody is walking or driving, they can just go through the show notes and connect directly with you there. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. That was fun. Yeah, very, very good. Very cool conversation.
If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you give it a 5-star rating and review. It takes 2 moments of your time and truly does make a difference in growing this community and showing support for the show. Make sure to stop by and say hi on social media, take a screenshot of this episode, tag our guest, tag me, and hashtag the show, hashtag BYL podcast. Share it out on your Instagram stories so that we can share it out on ours, and I will make sure to slide into your DMs to say hello. Until next Monday, everyone, I can't wait to see you then. Namaste.